stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we're talking about the Supreme Court's decision on roving ICE patrols and racial profiling. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. So one of the headlines that really caught my eye this morning was from the LA Times, and it read, Newsom escalates clash with Trump in State of the State, declares California under siege. That headline comes after yesterday's Supreme Court ruling, which lifted a temporary restraining order that put restrictions on immigration sweeps in Los Angeles and Southern California. So for now, agents are no longer restricted from stopping and detaining people based on how they look and speak, their job or location. CalMatters immigration and border reporter Wendy Fry, along with CalMatters investigative reporter Sergio Olmos, join me live now to talk about how this ruling could really impact our region. Wendy, Sergio, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having us.
So glad to have you both here. Wendy, I'll start with you. Break it down for us. What did the Supreme Court rule yesterday?
Right. So Justice Kavanaugh ruled or issued this concurring opinion where he sided with the Trump administration's request for an emergency appeal. And basically, he emphasized that ethnicity alone cannot justify reasonable suspicion, but that it can be one factor in what is called a totality of circumstances, which means basically anything a Border Patrol agent might know or anything a Border Patrol agent has learned in his however many years he's been on the job. And also, you know, saying that appearance could be one of these factors for people, for Border Patrol agents to make these stops.
Sergio, why did the district courts initially pause these roving patrols? I mean, what did they find?
Yeah, and they asked for this temporary restraining order in district court. ACLU and a host of a number of advocacy orgs, they were saying, hey, they're using, you know, they're racially profiling people. They're stopping people. They're running up to Home Depots and car washes. They don't know who these people are. They're not going after people with criminal history. They're just looking at someone who looks Latino and you know, a Border Patrol agent might think, oh, I think he's an illegal, and they're arresting them. And they've arrested, you know, as U.S. citizens. And so they went to court and said, hey, this is not, you know, this is not constitutional. Everybody has a right. You can walk around this country without having to prove your innocence. And the district court agreed. The Ninth Circuit upheld it. When it goes to the Supreme Court, you know, it's a 6-3 decision. You know, as Justice Sotomayor said, quote, in her dissent, we should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to work in a low-wage job. And I'll add that, like, the Ninth Circuit, when they upheld this temporary restraining order, they noted that 45% of the people that live in the Central District, like Los Angeles area, are Hispanic, and many of them speak Spanish. And so, you know, I speak Spanish. I'm Hispanic. Theoretically, if I walk out my door right now, I could be under reasonable suspicion because I speak Spanish and I'm Latino. So, like, that is the extent to which this ruling is huge.
And the thing is, if it can happen to you, it can happen to anybody, you know? Wendy, I just want to make sure that I got this right. This is just an emergency ruling, not yet the final one, as the lawsuit still continues to make its way through the courts. Is that right?
That's right. So the Supreme Court temporarily lifted this temporary restraining order via their shadow docket, which means that they did not have to get a full briefing from both parties. They did not have to listen to oral arguments, and they didn't actually even have to explain their decision. They did somewhat explain some of the decision, but they don't have to offer a full legal explanation of why they're siding with the Trump administration. And in fact, they have sided with the Trump administration in 17 straight decisions from their shadow docket, particularly when it comes to immigration. And this case is still live, though, so it's still going to continue at the district court level, and it's going to go back to a hearing on a potential preliminary injunction. So we could see this whole cycle repeat itself again. The district judge could rule that a preliminary injunction is necessary to stop the violation of people's Fourth Amendment rights in the Central District. And then the Trump administration could start their appeal process again and bring it right back up again.
Well, Sergio, this ruling just applies to Los Angeles, but I mean, could this have consequences for immigration enforcement across the country? Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, the attorneys I talked to, were specifying that this is just about this case in the Central District. So the TRO, the temporary restraining order, goes away. Like Wendy said, they're still going to argue for a preliminary injunction, which is basically the same thing, except it lasts for the duration of the case, which could take years. You know, on September 24th, they're going to argue for that. And again, that might go up to the Supreme Court as well. But the TRO is gone, which means immigration agents are free to resume their raids across Los Angeles. There is a preliminary injunction in the Eastern District, which is like Bakersfield, Sacramento, all that area. That preliminary injunction is still there. It still exists. There isn't anything in the San Diego region. But what this means for like the rest of California, for the national stage, is if the raids are now going on in Chicago, right, where Gregory Bovino, who was the chief architect of these raids here, he's been sent there. If they're going to file a TRO there, of course attorneys there are going to look at what happened in Los Angeles, because if that goes up to the Supreme Court, the same thing is likely to happen. So this kind of sets the tone for the rest of the country of what you can expect if any other state tries to fight this in court.
It also is just giving a green light to, you know, the federal it basically is giving a green light to the federal immigration agents. And, you know, we've all seen the videos of how they're conducting these arrests and what they're doing to people, driving up very quickly in unmarked cars, jumping out, wearing masks, wearing, you know, military style battle fatigues with heavy arm weapons, right? And running straight towards people, barreling towards people, or corralling them in these parking lots of Home Depots. And those kind of tactics could be seen anywhere else in the country.
Yeah. Well, Sergio, I mean, what have you seen on the ground?
Exactly what one described. The raids, you know, hit their peak in June and July. And then after the TRO, temporary restraining order, they really dropped off significantly. The TRO was working. There were still raids. But it looked much more to be the kind of ICE targeted raids where they're looking for a specific person rather than running up to agents jumping out of cars, running out of car wash, and people running for their lives and then arresting them because they ran. That seemed to have paused. Although, you know, there were still like a very high profile incident at a Home Depot where immigration agents were in a Penske rental truck and then jumped out very cinematically and filmed it and, you know, made this video online. Overall, though, the raids in Los Angeles, when they were happening in June, July, it gave a different character to the streets. There's a lot less like food, like taco stands outside. Grocery stores were like not as packed. And this is anecdotal, but if you live in LA, you knew it was happening. I mean, restaurants, like businesses, have all these like signs now that say that only customers are allowed in. And some of them will even go so far as to say, if you're an immigration agent, you have to have a warrant to enter. Like, I have never seen that in LA before, but the city totally changed because of that. And again, like the Ninth Circuit, you know, said 45% of the people in this district are Hispanic or Latino. Like, it's a lot of people here who, even if you are, you know, lawfully in the country like I am, you still have family, like you still know people who have been affected by this. So like it totally affected life in LA as it would in San Diego.
Well, and has in San Diego. I remember going through Barrio Logan and seeing those same signs up in the local businesses there. It's having a deep impact on so many communities. And in your article, you quoted what Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote in her dissenting opinion. What impact might this level of racial profiling have, even beyond these sweeps in immigration enforcement at large? Sergio, I'll throw that to you.
Well, so the way, because this went to the shadow docket and it was not articulated out, like Wendy said, attorneys, this is a real big fear for attorneys, because now, ostensibly everything the government wanted was agreed to. And so if you look at that, it says, you know, the ethnicity of a person, where they work, broken English or Spanish. You know, where someone works is not defined. So, yeah, we saw car washes, Home Depots, but ostensibly, you know, an immigration agent can say, well, I now think that, an office or or any kind of workplace, a newsroom, a factory, like a type of work is not defined in there. Also, speaking Spanish, like, many of us speak Spanish, or the idea that that is now grounds for reasonable suspicion. You know, the Los Angeles Police Department cannot pull me over because of the type of work I do and because I speak Spanish because I look Latino. That's not allowed. But now immigration agents can say that is allowed, right? That is the, so I think the impacts of this, I think are still to be felt. I think the potential for mass harm is going to be there because not defining the type of work, not leaving it open to ethnicity. I mean, again, I have to emphasize the point. Like, if you're Latino and you speak Spanish, you can't even be mad like that they detained you because that is reasonable suspicion now.
Wendy, anything to add?
Do you remember?
To that?
Yeah, do you remember at the beginning of this when advocates were saying, the U.S. Constitution applies to everybody within the United States. It doesn't matter what your immigration status is. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. We all have equal constitutional protections under the Constitution, which include we all have the right to be outside, not doing anything wrong, just standing there, and not fear that any federal agent, unidentified federal agent, can come up and tackle us or pin us to the ground and handcuff us. And now that is in question. It's creating two levels of citizenry or being able to be a resident in this country where some people have more rights than others. And if you have to walk out your door, you have to think about what amount of paperwork or file folder you need to take with you to be able to prove that you're allowed to be in this country. It creates less of sense of belonging in the society. And that's where I think is a real concern, a real long-lasting damage that we might not ever get out of after this is all over, is how can people feel that they are part of our community if this has happened?
Yeah, creates an entire class of people and keeps them sort of on the outskirts here. Sergio,
well, can I just add, before you go there, let's just assume you have no empathy for another person and you don't care about immigration at all. But let's say you're an American citizen and you go to a Home Depot or car wash today, and let's just say you are Latino or whatever, maybe not Latino, but maybe you speak another language. You're now under the federal government has reasonable suspicion to detain you now. They can detain you based on this, even if you don't care about other people. Like, this applies to everyone. The idea that you can go to Home Depot and speak another language and that is grounds for reasonable suspicion, that applies to everyone. Like, that, to me as an American citizen, you're allowed to go to Home Depot. You're allowed to speak another language. It is absurd that, you are now caused to have to prove your innocence.
Mm-hmm. There's been a huge community response to the immigration raids here in San Diego and in California. You were at a press conference, Sergio, in L.A. yesterday. What have attorneys and advocates and advocacy organizations said about this?
Well, the advocates were, saying that they, have to continue to fight. And they were, they're trying to fight back that, people would be demoralized because it is demoralizing. I mean, this is a Fourth Amendment issue, and to lose on that, quite demoralizing. The LA Mayor Karen Bass was out there saying that she's going to ask officers to, bolster their training on not in California, police officers here cannot go on immigration raids because of SB 54, so Karen Bass was trying to shore up the public that, hey, local law enforcement, to be clear, is not involved in this. Attorneys, though, were quite clear to say, like, hey, listen, we're still going to fight this for this preliminary injunction. It's like, it's not over. The preliminary injunction fight is still to come on September 24th. That is the TRO goes away, but if they get the preliminary injunction, it's a kind of different battle there in the sense of there'll be, that might not get, it's not automatic that the Supreme Court would reject that. So they're kind of trying to tell people, like, we still have a fight ahead. And even if that, even if the preliminary injunction, if that were to get kicked by the Supreme Court later on, they still have the case. So attorneys were trying to say, like, this is not the, end of the game here. Like, there's still things they're fighting for in court.
Well, Wendy, I'll let you have the last word here. Anything to add to that?
Just, one thing that we didn't talk about that Justice Kavanaugh put in the ruling is that he doesn't think that it's a major inconvenience to U.S. citizens if they get stopped and detained and interrogated about their immigration status. And I would say, you know, we have seen several examples, and some of the examples are in these court paperwork or in these cases of U.S. citizens being detained, you know, violently arrested, thrown to the ground, legal permanent residents, grandmothers mm-hmm. thrown on the ground, and detained for days and days, and yeah. sometimes without their family knowing where they are. So that's just one part that wanted to highlight.
Yeah, no, thank you. And thank you so much for you all's reporting on this. It's something that we'll continue to follow and have you back on for. I've been speaking with Wendy Fry, California Divide reporter, and Sergio Olmos, investigative reporter at Cal Matters. Wendy, Sergio, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you, Jane. Thanks.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.